Can we turn in our Bibles again, please, to the Acts of the Apostles, please, the book of Acts, chapter 3, and we're going to read from verse 1 of this portion of Scripture. Acts chapter 3, and beginning our reading at verse 1. The book of Acts, chapter 3, and beginning our reading at verse 1. Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed hailed Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and infallible word afresh. Let's just unite, please, in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we rejoice in these mighty scenes. We thank thee for the God who is able to lift up those that are fallen. We thank thee that thou art able to bind up the brokenhearted and give liberty to the captives. And we thank thee that there's the opening of the eyes of the blind. Our God, we thank thee tonight that thou canst do those things spiritually. In the meeting tonight, we thank thee that thou art able to transform the life. Thou art able to take that which is broken and thou art able to mend it. Thou art able to take that which is marred and thou art able to cleanse it. And our God, we pray that there may be that cleansing and that making afresh and renewing as we gather at thy feet tonight. Bless, O God, we pray, for it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. After the mighty events that took place at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit had descended, and there was the rushing mighty wind, and the disciples had been able to speak in the languages of the people, 3,000 souls were saved. We read that Peter and John went up to the temple to pray. Isn't it significant that prayer was the first thing that they wanted to do after such a mighty event that happened at Pentecost? And on the way to the temple, the disciples are brought face to face with this lame man. Now, this man is at the beautiful gate of the temple, and he's begging for alms. Now, there's nothing that happens by accident. We know that the Lord orders all things, and the Holy Spirit have brought these men into contact, these apostles into contact with this man for a reason. And there are a number of reasons that I believe that the Lord brought them into contact with this named man. The first reason, of course, is the obvious reason, that the man needed healed. The man was a man who needed strength in his legs, and he needed to be able to walk again. So they were able to meet this man, and out of the multitudes and the thousands that were in the city of Jerusalem, the Lord brought them right to this man, and I'm glad today that the Lord is interested in individuals. I'm glad that he's interested in you today. And here is a man who needed the power of his legs, and the Lord was willing to meet that man's need. Then there's a second reason why I believe that the Lord brought Peter and John into contact with this lame man. And that is that he wanted to demonstrate the reality of his power. This power that had come down at Pentecost and the anointing of the disciples there had given them power. Remember how the Lord had said, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." So this is going to be the first demonstration of that power. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12, "Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you." There are those things that are the signs of the apostle. And these miracles, you'll find in the Bible, that miracles are either done by apostles or by emissaries, those that have been sent by apostles. And this was done to authenticate the reality and the truth of this new religion, as it were, this something that God was doing, this new movement that was taking place. And this power was to demonstrate the reality of this. And as it was, God was putting his seal upon what was being done. But then I believe there's another reason why the disciples here came into contact with this lame man. And that is that it is a picture. It's a picture for us of what the church was to do. Really, here is the start of the New Testament church. And what was the New Testament church to do? Well, it was to go out and reach people. It was to go out and bring the gospel to people and to see individuals changed by the mighty power of God. And I think that really the lame man here in many ways represents mankind. He represents those that have been handicapped by sin. And the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So in many ways, here is a picture of you. Here's a picture of me. Here's a picture of those who are in this world, born of Adam's race. And the gospel is come, and the power of God is demonstrated in the changing and the transforming of those that are caught in sin. And what a mighty picture this is for our souls. And I pray tonight that it will not only be a picture for you, but it will be a reality. If you've never come and had the mighty power of God demonstrated in your life, if you've never been changed and made into a new creature, changed by the transforming power of the mighty God of heaven, oh dear friends, thank God that the Lord Jesus is passing this way. Oh, that you might meet him tonight. And that you might come into his presence. So Lord, what we want to do tonight is very simply look at this picture that the Lord has given us. This lame man that we have in the scriptures and what happened to him. And I want you to see a number of things about this lame man. And the first thing I want you to see is his disability. Now look at what we are told about him in verse 2 of the chapter. It says, "A certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful." So this is a man with a disability. Later on in the story, we learn that there's something wrong with his feet or his ankle bones, and something that has happened to his ankle bones. Probably they're fused in some way, but certainly whatever had happened to his ankle bones and to his feet, he was left, he was rendered that he couldn't walk, he couldn't move on his own. And obviously he had to be carried here to the temple day by day. And somebody brought him there, led him at the beautiful gate of the temple. And it's obvious also from the story, really reading between the lines, but it seems to be that this man, when he was led there, he couldn't move. He was there all day. And he sat there at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms, asking to get a few coins to make a living, to be able to buy food for himself. So here is a man who is in a very dire situation indeed. Now I want you to notice what it says about this man. Look at his position. It says here that he was day by day laid at the beautiful gate of the temple. Now here was a very congenial position. The place where he was brought to was a beautiful place. The Jewish historian Josephus described the gate on the Temple Mount as a fine Corinthian brass, 75 feet high, with huge double doors, so beautiful, and I quote, greatly excelled those that are only covered with silver and gold. So this was a very beautiful place to lie. It was a very pleasing situation. If it had been that the lame man here couldn't move, as it seems to be, he was certainly in a very beautiful place, and here he was in a congenial place to conduct his business. But you know, at the end of the day, whether it was a congenial place or a corrupt place, he was still unable to move. He was unable to work as he should. He was unable to fulfill all that he needed to do. And he was at the beautiful gate day by day, and it was a place of beauty, but he still was a man who had lost the use of his limbs. And you know, we look at the heart of man, and sometimes men come and women come, and they're on the beautiful side of the broad road, if there is a beautiful side. Now, they're all dressed up. They're like the children's story this morning. They have a beautiful cover, but inside, it's very different. It's like the Pharisees and the scribes, who were like whited sepulchres, but they were inside full of dead man's bones. There was something wrong in the inside. It looked very beautiful, but here is the man here, and there's still a disability there. And you are still a sinner. You might be on the clean side of the road, and you might be respectable and religious, and whatever else you want to be. But it doesn't matter where you're sat. You may be sat in the respectable end of town. You may be sat in the places of the higher echelons of society. You may be sat here in this meeting in a church service. But outside of Christ, you're still a sinner. And this was a very congenial place to be. But not only was it a congenial place, but it was a close place. It was close to the place where the sacrifices were made. Because this was the door of the temple. And here was the door of the temple where sacrifices were made and the blood was shed and where prayer was offered and where the priests entered in. And this was the heart of the religion. And this was the very gate of that temple. This was the place where the atonement was made. And the blood of the bulls and goats was shed in representation of what was going to happen on the cross of Calvary. And here was a man who was sat at the very door where all this was taking place. But he couldn't enter in. He was so very near to the place where he could find the need of his heart. But he couldn't enter in. He was at the gate. But that's as far as he got. He was so very near, and yet so very far. And you know, you may come very near today. You are in a church service, and you come to a meeting such as this. You know, the Bible says that our iniquities have separated between us and our God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. And you can be so very near, as it were. You can come so very close, and you can come to a meeting like this. But, dear friend, outside of Christ, you cannot come into the presence of the thrice holy God. And you never will come into his presence. You never will meet with him. Because the Lord Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And maybe you've come close to the door. And you're near the gate. But you've never entered in. And I want you to see his position. It was a very congenial position. And a very close position. But he was still outside the place where he needed to be. And maybe that's you tonight. As you sit here in this meeting, we see his position. But not only do we see his position, but I want you to see his powerlessness. Not only did this man not enter into the temple himself, or itself rather, not only did he not come near the sacrifices, but he could not. He was unable. It wasn't that he had chosen to sit outside the temple, although there he was outside the temple, but it was that he had been put in a place where he couldn't enter in. The fact that his ankle bones hadn't the strength that they should have. And here was a man, and he was sitting in a position where he was near the temple, but he could not enter in. Now, obviously, the man has a certain amount of wisdom and a certain amount of intellect about him. He wasn't stupid. I'm sure that he was able to sit outside and speak to the people that were passing by, and those who were bringing their sacrifices and their offerings. And he would talk to them and ask them what they were doing. And he would learn about all that was taking place in the temple and the feasts that were going on. And he was able to debate with them. And he was discerning enough to know that this was a good place to sit. It was a place where religious people were passing by. It was a good place to get alms. And he knew all that. There's a certain amount of street smart about him. But you know, he might have been a clever individual. And he might have been able to speak and do all these things. But you know, he was still rendered unable to enter in. You know, the Lord says, no man can come unto the Father, or no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. He says, no man can come unto me except it were given him of my Father. Listen to Romans chapter 8, verses 7 and 8. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. In yourself you cannot enter. You cannot please God. God's got to take your mind and your heart and remake it into something that will please Him. By yourself, you cannot enter. We see his powerlessness. But also look at his poverty. We notice here that he's asking for alms. He's a beggar. He's in poverty because of his inability. You know what the gospel offers to those that come to Christ? It says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ. There's riches. There is an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. That's what's an offer to those that come to him. Here's a man sitting in his poverty outside the gates of the temple and in a beautiful situation and so near and yet so far. I wonder if that's a description of somebody here in this meeting. So near. God has been speaking to you late. God has been dealing with you. God has been striving with you. And now you're sitting there so near. And yet so far. We see the man's disability. But then I want you to see something else. Look at his deficiency. He's living a life here that really is no more than a mere existence. He's sitting at a beautiful gate, certainly. And it's not the worst place to be able to sit. But you think of what it must have been for this man. Day by day, his friends carry him to the beautiful gate. And he sat there at the beautiful gate. I have no doubt that there must have been somebody come and feed him. He couldn't have sat there all day with nothing to eat. And he would have been then. Somebody would have come and fed him, helped him maybe in some ways. But you know, here, there he is sitting there every day in the one position. And then the men come in the evening time when they've finished their work and they lift him and they bring him back. I don't know whether he's a family. We assume that he has a family at home of some kind. He's brought back there and there he is. And he's taken away from his family day by day, sat in the one place, looking at the same thing every day. Am I the beauty? Oh, that beautiful gate would have soon faded. And the thought of people passing by. It was nice to watch the people go by and to see what they were doing and to look at all that they were doing. But if you were doing that day by day by day, the gloss would soon be taken off it. And you can imagine this man, year after year, and month after month, day after day, sitting in the same place, doing the same thing, sleeping on that pavement, asking alms of the people, sitting there. I don't know if you've ever seen pictures of some of the Eastern beggars. And sometimes you can see them sitting still for hours, or sometimes they get in under a cloak or something like that, and they lie there on the pavement, hour after hour after hour. What a life! And there is this man. Because of his inability, because of the fact that he cannot walk, and he cannot do these things, he's left there day after day after day. It's a beautiful place. You know, the beauty begins to fade. This old world is a place that to many people has a beauty. Many people, by they love to see the world. The young person wants to get out into the things of the world and to taste the dance floor and to see what goes on in the world. And my, to go out and my, it's a thrill and to see what is taking place. And then they're left on the pavement outside in the gutter. And then they're left with the drug problem. Or then they're left with the drink problem. Or then they're left without their friends. And my, the world begins to lose its gloss. I remember being called by a family a number of years ago, and their nephew, the nephew of this lady, had taken his own life. And I went to see the family. And this was a young man, and he seemed to be, I went to the funeral then, was across the border, and it was in Donegal, the funeral, but in that area, this young fellow, he obviously was a very popular young fellow, and he had all to live for, it seemed. But it turned out that not only had he taken his life, but I think it was three of his other friends in the just few months previous had taken their own lives. I remember a few months ago how it was on the news about a young number of young men in round Belfast who had taken their own lives. What is wrong? The world doesn't satisfy. The world holds out its glitter. You know, you think of the footballers today, and one footballer is complaining that he is earning 200,000, and the other one is only earning 100,000, and neither envious one at another. What does this world hold for people today? My, there is the glitter and the glamour. But that's all it is. It soon fades away. You know what's wrong with the world? Men are unprepared to die. People cannot face death. People cannot face the age in which they're living. Cannot face life as it is. And the stresses and the strains. Because this old world is fading away. And there's nothing there. Maybe you can see that tonight. Maybe the whole world has lost its glitter for you. Here is a young man here, and he is at the beautiful gate, but he is in a place where all the beauty and glitter is faded away. What an awful position to be in. We see here his disease and his deficiency. But also look at his despondency. You'll probably here see this young man here, or man as he is. Don't know whether he's a young man or an old man here, really. But perhaps here's a young fella, or an old man. And my, for years he's been looking for a cure. I've no doubt that there were many cures that he looked for, and there were quacks in those days, and I'm sure that he went through many things of many physicians, like the woman who had an infirmity for 12 years. Maybe he tried many cures. And I'm sure that here he was. He's just sitting at the gate, and obviously he'd given up. Here he is just sitting asking for alms day by day. In his younger day, maybe he had thought that something could happen. Something could take place. His life could be changed. But here he is, and he's still here at the beautiful gate, day by day. Day by day. He's still there. Dear friend, maybe you're the same. Maybe you've almost given up. The world cannot cure you. The world cannot meet your need. This old world is nothing for you. And maybe you've come to the place of despondency. Well, I'm glad tonight that in the midst of all this despair and despondency, this man heard about a deliverer. He heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. He heard about these men, or he met these men that were passing by. And this man here doesn't stay in his impotent position. I want you to see his deliverer. As Peter and John pass by, we read that Peter fixes his eyes on the man, and the man fixes his eyes on Peter. And we read how the man asks Peter for money, and Peter says, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk." And then we read, "And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God." And I want you to see, here is the commission of the church. You know, that's what Peter says, "Such as I have, give I thee." And that's what the church of Christ has to do. That's what I've got to do tonight. "Such as I have, give I thee." I'm glad of that day when the Lord saved me. I'm glad of that day when the Lord Jesus Christ lifted me, brought me out of my impotency, brought me out of my inability, restored me, brought me to that place of salvation. And we're not going to hoard it up. We want you to be there. We want you to know God's salvation. We see the commission of the church. But look at the cure of the cripple. "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." How did the cure come? It came by Jesus Christ. The apostles were the instruments, but the cure was in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one who can cure you. He's the only one who can meet the need of your heart. Only one who can lift you up. He speaks and all is different. He changes the life. Changes all that you are. Brings purity where there'd been debauchery. Brings a release where there'd been captivity. He sets the prisoner free. The cure of the cripple. But look at the completeness of the cure. You see, the cure was thorough. He not only walked here, but you notice that he did something he'd never done in his life before. He leaped. My, you think of those muscles there. If somebody goes into hospital and the surgeons release the muscles in some way, they have to take weeks, maybe months, for the muscles to relax and for everything to settle and for the stitches to take. And my, they're not on their feet for a long time. But this man not only walks, but he leaps. And this is a thorough cure. Not only is it a thorough cure, but it's an instantaneous cure. He walks and he leaps right away. You see, the cures of Christ are instantaneous. A man or a woman can come into this meeting and be in the very depths of sin and iniquity. My, you might be this evening on the road that leads to damnation and hell. But you can be set on the road that leads to heaven and to home. This is a complete cure. The Lord Jesus Christ is able to take those sins that are weighing you down. And he's able to give you eternal life and give you eternal bliss. I say to you tonight, come to the one who is able to save, the one who is able to take your sins and your sorrows and is able to bear them away
from you as far as the east is from the west. Dear friend, outside of Christ, if you don't know the Savior tonight, will you come to His feet? Here's a man who was day by day in this position, day by day languishing, nothing in life to hold out for him. But what a difference the Lord made. My, He leaped home that night. My, He went with a skip and a step down through the streets and was able to walk and go where He wanted to do and work as He'd never worked before. What a change is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He makes us new creatures. And I pray you come and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight. Will you come? Will you trust Him? Will you seek Him as your own? Do it tonight for Jesus' sake. Let's